So now I think on your own you get used to posture of the body, bringing awareness to the breath. This 9-point meditation has three roots, three main headings. Number one, death is certain. Number two, the time of death is uncertain. Those are harder points to realize. Number three, the only thing that really benefits you at the death time is your Dharma practice. Some sort of spiritual practice. Let's look at the first root. We're going to focus here. Death is certain. Has three reasonings under this, as each of the roots do. Three reasonings to convince you, to help you have a realization that you are definitely going to die. Intellectually, we've got it. I think everyone in this room understands that this life ends in death. But we don't have a realization of it because it may change some of the activities you're doing in everyday life. So analytical meditation helps you move an intellectual understanding deep into the heart level to a spiritual and experiential realization. When you know, capital K, you know you are going to die. Or some other point of the philosophy. And if you get that gripping moment at any time in the meditation, try to place deeper focus and concentration there to deepen that experience. It will fade again, and then you analyze again. Death is certain. Let's consider the first reasoning. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. And just think, there's no power in the universe that can stop death from coming to you. There is no power in the universe that can stop death from coming to you. Let's just consider, who is the oldest person you've ever known or heard about? Have you ever heard of anyone living forever that's like 500 years old? Have you met them? Consider some of the brightest people on the planet, like Albert Einstein. He did not soar away out of death. And some of the most creative beings on the planet, Mozart, Kurt Cobain, John Lennon, Beethoven, unbelievable artists, musicians, writers, they passed away. They couldn't find any creative outlet to stop death from coming. Think about people on the planet that have power to end this planet. They die. They don't have power to stop death. People have walked on the moon and they didn't sort death. They've died. Some of the wealthiest people on the planet cannot bribe their way out of death. consider all these different beings and their unique powers, accomplishments, intelligence, resourcefulness. And how none of that will prevent death from coming to them. So how is it that you think you are immune from dying? Just think again, everybody dies. Just think, I am definitely going to die. I am definitely going to die. There's nothing I can do about it. Think of great spiritual leaders like Jesus, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II, even the Buddha died, Gandhi died, Martin Luther King Jr. died, these pretty extraordinary beings. If they didn't figure out a way out of death, how am I going to figure out a way out of death? Just consider that. And as you reflect on that, think, I'm definitely going to die. Everybody dies. Let's consider the second reasoning. Every moment we're closer to death. Death is certain. Death is coming. There's no pause button. It's coming. So you consider slowly, reflect in your mind. I'm another Saturday closer. I'm another February closer to death. I'm another winter closer. Another breakfast closer. As you get up, you walk to the bathroom, I'm another step closer to death. And another step closer, and another step closer. You inhale, I'm another breath closer to death. Just reflect like this, the passage of time, fleeting, bringing you closer to your dad. Third reasoning is there's very little time you really spend practicing Dharma. There's very little time for a spiritual practice. If you analyze one day in your life, how much time do you spend in formal practice? It's great if a weekend like this, because a lot of the day is directed that way. But in everyday life, do I get an hour in? Even that? So over the course of a 70, 80 year life, how many imprints will you have? What are the imprints that you're making for your consciousness? For the mind to be peaceful now, to be peaceful when you're dying. So just consider as you think about this. Think about all your activities, how much time you spend sleeping, eating, dealing with your house, your family, your work, education, feeding yourself, clothes, on and on. Just think, I'm definitely going to die. Death is definitely coming. It's definitely coming. How much time am I spending practicing? So little time. Just reflect. Death is certain. Just think again, I am definitely going to die. There's nothing I can do about that. So this leads us to a resolution. Each root and the reasonings lead us to a resolution. And this one is, I am going to practice. I can do it. I am going to do it. I'm going to adjust some things in my life and set up a realistic practice. Just feel that determination in your heart, if you like, directing yourself in that way. and just a brief dedication to thank, may any merit, any positive energy be created from our activities this morning. May it please layer some seeds of virtue in our consciousness that will ripen and grow in a wonderful, rich, consistent practice that will benefit us all the way to enlightenment so we can have an unlimited ability to benefit all living beings. And I'd love to turn in the prayers to the food offering prayers. Look at the top, it says food offering prayers. So rather than just shoveling the food in our consciousness, we normally do, we like to bless them, have a little bit mindful understanding, to think about where the food came from. And even if you're vegetarian, animals were harmed, probably insects die in the processing of growing food, reading our food. The food is trucked to us, all the people backbreaking work often to harvest food. And they prepare the food, and the people here that selected the food that we're going to have. And we just have gratitude to all of that process. But if you think about all the people around the planet starving, never have access to decent food, and we can just imagine offering it to them, and it alleviates all the suffering on the planet. Think about all the suffering beings, and the food immediately alleviates their suffering, bringing them to ultimate happiness. We think about any particular teachers, holy beings here, we like to offer the food, in a sense. If you have any idea about emptiness, it is completely empty in nature, lacks any concrete inherent nature that we impute on the food. Yeah? And offer like that. And then we recite these prayers. So when it says guru, that's a scary word for some people. Because it's like a cult. They're going to take over my mind, you know? Personally, my mind needs a little overtaking by some positive energy at times, right? But guru is teacher in Sanskrit. Sometimes spiritual, virtuous friend. So when you think about all your friends that we love, right? But if you have a virtuous friend that knows that, okay, knows reality, really knows how to guide you perfectly, that's a really special friend. Right? And then it really mirrors externally, if you have an external teacher like that, it mirrors that wealth of compassion and wisdom in yourself that you're developing, that they're leading you to develop. That's real guru. So that's what they really mean, things like that. And then another level, even higher, loftier things like that. So we bless with Om, Ah, Om, three syllables. We first bless it so you can imagine. Om is a white syllable from the forehead of the holy beings, white light streams. Ah, from red syllable of the throat, red light beams into the food. Blue at the heart, Om, blue light rays into the food. Blessing, so the food gets blessed with the body, speech and mind of the holy beings. Okay? We recite that three times, and then we can read this prayer in English. Because the guru really pervades everything. It's really kind of the emptiness of transcendental wisdom is the real guru, like that. But it's a really incredible notion of something that isn't about, you know, taking over your mind, not in a negative way, like that. Who embodies all the Buddhas and all the Buddha Dharma Sangha, the three rare sublime ones, that's what that means. They experience bliss, fills your entire body, blissful wisdom nectar, like that. You can visualize like that. The Guru is Buddha, the Guru is Dharma, the Guru is also Sangha. The Guru is the creator of all happiness. To all the Gurus I make this offering. Thank you, all living beings, for giving us this food. May it nourish us so that we may nourish others. So it's nice silence at lunch. Please enjoy your lunch.